Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Zayin. We are holding on daf Kuf Vavam Beis. We're at the last Mishnah on Kuf Vavam Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and also by Mordechai Roth in honor of Dr. David Landerer, particularly on this Father's Day as he honors his wife and children and all of us the rest of the year. Bivracha v'hatzlacha to him. That's a good sponsorship. Okay, so we thank the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. Again, we're holding at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Kuf Vavam Beis, and the Mishnah is going to continue to talk about the Malacha of Tzad, of trapping, and specifically when two people block off a doorway to a house where an animal is already trapped. So we're going to discuss who is Chayiv for the Malacha of Tzeda in such a case. The Gemara, to conclude the Parak, is going to discuss three different cases in Shabbos where the word Pater actually means Mutter, that almost every other case in Hilcha Shabbos where we use the word pater means pater aval aser, but over here and two other cases, three total cases, we have the word pater means pater umutter. Then we're going to Be'ez Hashem begin the 14th parak of Masechah Shabbos, and we're going to discuss trapping and wounding different types of shratzim on Shabbos. When is one chayiv? What types of shratzim is one chayiv for trapping and wounding on Shabbos, and what types is one not chayiv for trapping and wounding on Shabbos? The Gemara is going to have a statement of ein or elo lemasha manu chachamim, which is a cryptic statement, and we're going to have three different interpretations of what that means, because we're going to have to describe the nature of the or of the skin of different animals, and therefore whether it's subject to the iser of wounding. The Gemara is then going to have the definition of a wound, what it means to be a wound, and it's going to describe it as something that has a certain permanence to it. And then we're going to get into the sugya of killing lice on Shabbos, whether there's Nisa Daraisa to kill lice on Shabbos. So let's begin on Daf Kuf Vavam Beis, the Mishnah at the very end of the page. So we are going through different details of the Malacha of Tzad. So let's say we're continuing from the last Mishnah, where you have a deer that goes into your house on Shabbos. So Yeshiva Echad Ala Pesach, Yashiva Echad Ala Pesach, one person sits by the doorway, V'lo Milahu, but he doesn't fill the doorway, so the Tzvi can still get out, the animal's not yet trapped. Yashiva Sheni Milahu, and then the second person fills in the rest of the doorway, Hasheni Chayiv, the second guy is Chayiv, because he's the one that actually trapped the Tzvi. He's the one that actually made it, that the Tzvi will not be able to get out. Yashav HaRishon Ala Pesach Umil Ahu, but what if the first guy was able to block the entire doorway by sitting there himself? Uba Hashenev Yashav B'tzido, and then the other guy came and sat next to him or behind him, let's say, Aval Pishamad HaRishon V'Halachlo, even though the first guy may have gone up and left, and therefore the second guy is the only one that's blocking the door, HaRishon Chayiv Hasheni Pater. The second guy is going to be Pater, even though right now the only reason the animal can't get out is because of the second guy. The first guy is gone already, but the first one is the one that did the Malacha of Tzad. The second guy didn't trap anything. The second guy just came there while the animal had already been trapped. The Tosyantov points out that you have to say that when the Rishon got up to leave, he didn't go out, he went in, because if he went out, then the second guy would have had to get out of his way for a moment in order for the first guy to get out. So when the second guy gets out of his way, then there's no one blocking the door. And then when the second guy would sit back down, he would be chayiv, would be a violation of tzeda. Or you have to figure some way that the second guy never leaves the door open when the first fellow leaves. So the second guy is going to be pater because he's just being shomer, an already trapped animal. He is not trapping an animal again. Halamazadoma, what is this similar to? Lenoel espesel shomer of nim tzvi shomer betocho. A person who locks his house in order to guard the house, and it turns out that there's a tzvi in the house. And just like when there's a tzvi in the house on Erev Shabbos, and a person sits there and stops it from leaving the house, and on Shabbos he wants to leave, so he's allowed to lock the door of his house, even though the tzvi is going to remain in the house, and it's going to remain trapped in the house. Since the tzvi was already trapped from before Shabbos, and now he's just maintaining that status quo of a trapped deer in the the house, so it's not going to be a melacha. So to over here in our Mishnah, since the first guy already trapped the deer, the second guy standing there, sitting there, and blocking the doorway is also going to be Potter. That is how the Ritva understands this line in the Mishnah. And he says that Noel is Beis Lushomro. He gives another interpretation. Noel is Beis Lushomro. Sounds like the purpose of the locking is in order to protect the objects in your house, that they shouldn't get stolen. And that's why it's Pashut, that it's Mutter to do that. So that's an interesting question that Rishonim struggle with over here. Does it matter what your Kavana is over here? That you're having Kavana not to block the deer, but you're having Kavana to protect that which is in your house. So that's a major discussion in the Rishonim. And why would it matter that you're having Kavana? I mean, even if you're not having Kavana to trap the deer, but isn't this the very definition of a psik reshe? Meaning if you're locking the door, obviously the Tzvi is going to be trapped. So why would Kavana make a difference? The Rashba has Yerushalmi that seems to hold that there's such a distinction. Most of the other Rishonim do not assume like that Yerushalmi. Okay, so here's that's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara now. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav. Nichnas halo tzipor tachas knofav, yoshiv mishamra shetechshach. If a person has a bird that sneaks its way under his clothing, so the bird is right now trapped under the clothing, you're allowed to stay sitting there in order to keep the bird trapped until after Shabbos is over. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to take it, even though the bird is already trapped, because it's muktzah, like any other balchai that just comes from the wild. So it's muktzah on Shabbos. You can't shecht it, obviously, on Shabbos, so it's absolutely muktzah on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to just pick it up with your hand and take it, but you can stay where you are in order to keep the bird trapped on Shabbos, because you didn't do the maisa of doing the trapping on Shabbos. I asked the Gemara on Rav from our Mishnah, Masr Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Yashav Rishon Al Pesach Umelo, Ba, Sheni V'Yashav B'Tzido, Avol Pisham Rishon V'Holcha, Rishon Chayva, Sheni Potter, My Lav, Potter Avol Aser, that our Mishnah says that it's true when the animal's already trapped, and the second guy sits there, and now the first guy leaves, the second guy's going to be Potter, but Potter doesn't mean it's okay. Potter always means Potter Avol Aser, and you're telling me with the bird that even though I didn't do the malacha of trapping it, but I'm just keeping it trapped, I'm maintaining the status quo of a trapped bird, you're telling me that's mutter? Our Mishnah said potter, that should be potter of a lasser. So says Marlo, potter or mutter, when our Mishnah says that the second guy is potter, it really means potter or mutter, it means that it's absolutely permissible. Hachinami mistavra, and we can explain that it's most logical to assume that that's what it means in the Mishnah, midakatani seifa. From the seifa of the Mishnah, when it tries to prove that the halacha that we just said in the Reisha, that the second guy is potter, so what did the seifa say? Oh, l'mazeh dome, l'noel is based on the shomro. We compared it to a person who locks his house in order to protect it, and it turns out that there's a deer that's already trapped in the house. So that's mutter to do. That's got to be mutter to do l'chadchila, because everyone always locks the doors of their house. So that has to be. You don't have to leave your like we said from the Ritva before. You don't have to leave your house open and let ganavim come and take whatever they want. It has to be mutter to leave the doors to lock the doors of your house. So that has to be a case of mutter. So mechlal the potter of mutter. So therefore, we could derive from there that in the case of the two people sitting blocking the doorway, where the first guy gets up, the second guy is not only potter, but it's also mutter shmamina. And in fact, that is the raya that the Gemara sticks with, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well in Siman Shinta Zayin Sivav. But that's only when the deer was trapped beheter. If the deer was trapped beisr, the Bir Halacha points out, then the Chacham made a knas to maintain that status quo. Adin midrabanan. Meaning, let's say the first guy sat there and blocked off the door on Erev Shabbos, and then the second guy comes and sits down on Shabbos, and the first guy leaves. So that's heter gomer, 100% mutter. But if the first guy violated sad on Shabbos, and then the second guy maintains that seda, that's not asr midaraisa. He didn't violate the melacha of sad, but says the Bir Halach and Siman Shinta Zayin, that is still going to be asr midrabanan, a special knas midrabanan that we make to maintain an iser da'oraisa. Ikata Amri, another version of this conversation, Amr Rav Nachman Yitzchak Afananami Tanina. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that we have a brisa that supports what we just said. That Afal about the bird that makes its way under one's clothing where you're allowed to maintain it there. The Aval Bisham Rishon Valakha Rishon Chayva Sheni Potter. My lav Potter Mutter. That our mission also seemed to say that if the deer is already trapped, second guy is allowed to stay there. And doesn't that imply Potter means that it's even Mutter? He's allowed to stay there. So look, Potter Avalasir. Maybe it's not a riot. Maybe the Mishnah means Potter Avalasir. But Hamid Tani Seif Alamaz Dhamal and all space of Shamra Vimsi Shamra Ptachum Khal the Potter Mutter Shmamina. No, but you see from the Seif of our Mishnah, from the case that we bring a raya from, that it's Potter Umutter, so you see Taka that it's Potter Umutter. So the only difference between the first version and the second version is whether the original attempt was to disprove Rav, was Menachem Yitzchak trying to disprove Rav, or was he trying to prove Rav to be correct? But in either version, at the end of the day, we have proven Rav to be correct from our Mishnah, because the Mishnah actually says Potter, and it definitely means Potter Umutter. So now we get to the three different cases in Hilchos Shabbos where the word Potter actually means Potter Umutter. Amar Shmuel, famous line in this Masechta, Kol Paturi the Shabbos, Potter Avalasu Levame Hanitas the Potter Umutter. Right, this is quoted in all these cases are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham quotes this line of the Gemara, that all Paturei Shabbos are always going to be considered Pater Avalasar, except for these three cases that are Pater Umutter. Magen Avraham points out, yeah, these are the only three cases in Hilchos Shabbos that are Pater Umutter when you do a Maisa. But there are plenty of cases where if you're passive, something will be Pater Umutter that we're not even going to mention. But these three are in Hilchos Shabbos where you do a Maisa, that it's going to be Pater Umutter. It's also interesting that the way Shmuel formulates it is called Paturi de Shabbos. Anytime we have a Patur in Hilchos Shabbos, it means Pater Avalasar. Isn't that the rule in Kalat Aruch Kula as well? That whenever it says Pater, it means Pater Avalasar? Does Pater everywhere else outside of Hilchos Shabbos mean Pater Umutter? So the Rishonim point out that no, Pater means throughout everywhere Pater Avalasar, but there are only three exceptions in Hilchos Shabbos. So the reason he dafka highlights Hilchos Shabbos is because in Hilchos Shabbos is where we find the three exceptions. There may be more exceptions in other places, but if you want to narrow it down to something that has three exceptions, in Hilchos Shabbos there are only three exceptions. What are the three exceptions where the word Pater is used to mean Pater and Mutter? Chadaha, one is the case of our mission of the second guy sitting in the doorway that's already been blocked by the first guy, and then the first guy leaves, second guy stays. That's Mutter. Umimai de Pater Mutter, and how do we know that it's Pater Mutter? Well, we already said it twice, and now let's say it a third time. Dikatani Seifa, because the Seifa goes on to say, Lemaze Dama, Lenoel Espace of the Shomer, Vinzitzvi, Shomer Betocha, because we compare it to just locking the front door of your house to make sure the Kadavim don't come in to take anything, and that is definitely Mutter. So over here also means Pater Mutter. The Idach, what are the other examples of Pater Mutter? So example number two is Hamepis Mursa B'Shabbos. If a person pops a pus pimple on Shabbos or some sort of boil, Im Lasso, if his intention is to make an opening in his skin so that the moisture should leave and air should be able to get in, chayiv. Then he's chayiv for creating a pesach. So meaning what's the chayiv? It's the malacha of bona, and we do find that there is a malacha of bona when it comes to human beings. The pasuk says vayivan Hashem Elokim es hatzela. So the Ritva points out, you see from there that there's a malacha of bona on a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chavit, describes it as a binyan. It's also, Rashi points out, a violation of Tikkun Kli, because what's the difference between Misakin Maka and Misakin Ekli? Okay, so a person is Mapis Morsan Shabbos, Lasel Slepez, intention is to create an opening in skin, he's going to be Chayiv. But Vim Laotzi Mimen Alecha, but if his only intention is to remove the pus that's there, that's causing him discomfort right now, but he doesn't care if the skin then closes up right away as soon as he removes the pus, so then opening it up is not considered a malacha hatzricha legufa, because he doesn't need the hole itself, he only needs to remove the unwanted pus that's inside, so it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa, and therefore Pater, he's going to be Pater for such a melech shein tzricha legufa. So when we say Pater in that context, it means Pater umutter. It means not only is a melech shein tzricha legufa like normally that's going to be Pater, but it's actually going to be Pater umutter. This is obviously obviously assuming within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that who says Malchashen Sricha L'Gufa is Pater. Now, normally Rabbi Shimon, when it comes to Malchashen Sricha L'Gufa, would say Pater Aval Aser. But this case, we'll see in a moment, is a little bit different, where even though it's Malchashen Sricha L'Gufa, which normally would be Pater Aval Aser, but in this case, it's going to be Pater Mutter. By removing the pus from the pimple, that's going to be Pater Aval Aser, Pater Mutter, rather. How do I know that popping the pimple is Pater Mutter? It's not, because the Mishnah is going to tell us later on in Daf Kuf Chav Beis that a machat shel yad, that you're allowed to be metaltel a needle that you take a sewing needle litol b'asakos in order to remove a splinter which is malacha that's totally mutter, because the machat is a klisha malachta l'iser. So normally a klisha malachta l'iser is a form of muktzah, but it's a very mild form of muktzah in the sense that you're allowed to be metaltel a klisha malachta l'iser l'tzorach gufo or l'tzorach mukomo. So to remove a splinter on Shabbos is l'tzorach gufo. You need that needle, and therefore it's mutter. So, but apparently you see that you're allowed to remove a splinter l'chadchila on Shabbos, and the reason it's not a violation of the melacha of bona, even though you're making an opening in your skin in order to remove the splinter, is because you don't care about that opening. You don't care if it closes as soon as the splinter is out. So the Pesach that you're making is a melacha shein shricha l'gufa, for which you are a potter. And even l'chadchila you're allowed to do that. Why? Because it's causing you a certain amount of tsar. So to be mapis morsa is the same thing, that it's a melach shein shricha l'gufa, but it's causing you tsar. And whenever it causes a certain amount of tsar, you're able to be mekel on a melach shein shricha l'gufa. So since it's causing physical pain, that which is normally going to be potter avalaser is going to become potter umutter, is going to become even mutter l'chadchila. V'idach, and a third example where the word potter means potter umutter, hatsod nochash b'shabbos, if a person traps a snake on Shabbos, im is asik b'shlo yishchenu, potter. If you're doing it in order to prevent the snake from biting you, then you're going to be potter. You don't need the snake, so it's melach shein tzricha l'gufa, in the sense that normally when you trap an animal, the tzricha l'gufa would be if you need the animal that you're trapping, like it would happen in the Mishkan when they needed the animals that they were trapping. Over here, you don't need the snake, you don't want the snake, you just want it not to bite you. So that's melach shein tzricha l'gufa, and there's a significant threat of tsar haguf, because the snake could bite you. So potter. But if you need to use the snake because the snake has some therapeutic value, they still, even at Ayom, they use a venom of snakes to produce different medications. So if there's some therapeutic value, Chazal have in a few different places where a person uses the venom of a snake to somehow heal something or other. But if you're using it in order to produce some sort of refuah, so then you're catching the snake because you want the snake. That's a regular melacha tzricha l'gufa, and for that you're going to be chayiv. Umi mai de pater umutter. How do I know that when you're stopping the snake from biting you, that that's going to be pater umutter, that you're allowed to trap it, and that's pater umutter? It's not, because the Mishnah is going to say later on, kofin ka'ara al haner b'shil shalotechos bakora, that you're allowed to put a plate over a candle in order to prevent the candle from lighting the beams of your house on fire. Va'al tsoa shel katan, and you're also allowed to put a kli over tsoa of tarnagolim that a katan might start to play with and might start to get himself messed up with, val akrav shelo tishach. And then the third thing we mentioned, on an akrav, so that it shouldn't bite you. So you see, it says beferish that kofin kari, you're allowed to do this l'chadchila, that you're allowed to go and put a plate over an akrav, over a scorpion, so that it doesn't bite you, so that it doesn't damage you. So you see that the term potter in this context means potter. So this is an interesting discussion about the level of tsar that is necessary in order to allow that which would normally be asr mitra abanan to make it heter gamer, to make it mutter l'chadchila. We have in two of these cases, it was really about tsar, right? The case of tsad is not really about tsar. It's just about the fact that your kavana is to protect those items in your house. But the other two cases are about tsar. The case of mapis morsa, where you're popping the pimple because it's causing you some pain, the pus is causing you pain, and the case of the nachash, because it threatens to cause you a good amount of tsar. It can't just be that it threatens to cause you, you know, that which is less than tsar, that which is a slight discomfort, something like that. So that's what the poskim say. Probably to trap a mosquito, not okay, because trapping a mosquito, what is a mosquito going to do to you already? A mosquito bite is not even painful. A bee, that's already much trickier. Certainly if someone is allergic to these things, then it's pikuach nefesh, probably, so that for sure. But even someone who's not, it could be that trapping a bee would be similar to a nachash and nakrav. That's a discussion in the poskim, whether it rises to the level of tsar of a nachash and nakrav, which becomes mutal charchila. There's a fascinating tshuva in Minchas Yitzchak. The Minchas Yitzchak in Chel Gimel, Simul Chav Gimel, was asked about very hot summer days where the air conditioner is off. Can you ask a guy to turn on the air conditioner for you? Is it similar to what the Shulchan Aruch writes? Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Reish Ayin Vav that if you live in a very, very cold climate on a cold winter day, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to make a fire, even for not for children, even for gedolim, if it's so cold, because everyone is considered a chola when it comes to the cold. So maybe the same is true when it comes to the chom, that everyone is considered a chola. Tosus, after all, writes in Maseches Bavas and Daf Kuf Mem Dalid in the name of Yerushalmi that a person should daven more to be saved from extreme heat than to be saved from extreme cold. Apparently, extreme heat poses a greater threat than extreme cold. And Milchas Yitzchak says, yeah, it's a very good comparison. And he says, especially based on what the Mordechai writes in the name of Rabbeinu Yom Tov, that even someone who's not a chola itzel akor, but he's still mitzta'er, and we should allow Amir la'akum b'makom tzar, because b'makom tzar lo gazru chacham man Amir la'akum. And he says, plus, turning on the air conditioner is probably only in the Sidra Banan, so it's a shvus to shvus, and the Chalkas Yaakov has a tshuva where he agrees as well. However, there's a tshuva in the Dvar Yehoshua, Chelik Bei Simen Nun, where he says that it's dafka by cold that they allowed Amir la'akum, because cold has a real impact on one's entire body and entire health, as opposed to heat doesn't often cause as much illness as cold does. And for tsar alone, they don't allow violating an issur drabanan. But what about the Mordechai, the makom tsar, that we allow an issur drabanan? No, we don't paskin like that Mordechai. And he says the raya is from Tosfos in our sugya. Tosfos says, why is it that we allow being mapis morsa according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda mishum tsar degufa? Lechora, it's difficult. Why does Tosfos have to add the word degufa? Just say tsar. That there's tsar. Tosfos has to explain because it's tsar degufa. So after all, the Gemara and elsewhere when it talks about things that are mutter b'makom tsar, it says b'makom tsar lo gozu rabbanan. It never uses the term tsar degufa. So it must be that it's dafka when there's tsar of the guf that were the chamor matir. But tsar alone were not matir even in issur drabanan. He tries to argue that heat is not called tsar degufa. I don't know, meaning because it's external to the body, it's just what the body's reaction to that which is external, as opposed to like mapis morsa, which is a wound on your body, a wound on your skin, a pimple on your skin, that would be tsara degufa. Maybe the heter is limited to a situation where it's going to be something that's mamish on the guf and not just a reaction to the atmosphere around the guf. Pashas is its mutter. Okay, so hadron alacha oreg, now we begin the 14th parak of Maseches Shabbos. So this parak is going to discuss three basic topics. The first is a continuation of the discussion of the melacha of tzad, which we already began, obviously, in the previous parak. The second, we're going to discuss certain melachos that are asur midrabanan, because they look like a malacha that's done on a weekday. They look similar to weekday malachas. And the third is going to talk about malachas that are asur mishum refua, even though they're only asur midraba, and those are also only asur midrabanan, but specifically refua-related isurim drabanan. So now, the Mishnah begins by referring to the Shmona Shratzim. What are the Shmona Shratzim? So the Pasuk, in Parshas Shmini, I think it is, and it lists eight shratzim, hacholid va'achbar va'tzav l'mineu va'anaka va'koach va'altav va'chomet va'tin shames. So those are the shratzim that their nevela is metame. All other shratzim, their nevela, a dead sheretz, will not be metame. So over here, the Mishnah is going to explain that l'gabe Shabbos, there are also certain things about these shmona shratzim that make them unique, that make them different from other shratzim. So shmona shratzim amur b'Torah. These shmona shratzim that we say in the Torah about tumas nevela, that their nevela is tamei, hatsadan v'achavol ben chayiv. If you trap them on Shabbos or wound them on Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv for the melacha of tzad, because it's considered to be mino nitzod. It's the kind of thing that people would trap, that someone would be interested in trapping, because that's what we said. We already learned that only that which is the derech for someone to trap is going to be part of the yisur d'oraisa. But and achovel b'hem, if you make a wound in them, even though blood was not drawn out of their body, it's still aser bishum netilas neshama. It's a talada of shochet. But all other types of creepy crawly things there where the nevela would not be tame, like worms or snakes or akravim, scorpions, hachovel ben pater, if you make a wound in them, you pater, because they don't have an external skin. And just like you can't wound it in the normal way where the dam gets caught between the basar and the or, because it doesn't have an or. Hatsadon l'tzorech chayiv, if you trap them because you need them, like you need the refuah that they can offer, then you're chayiv shalal tzorech pater. But if you trap them without any tzorech, you don't really need them, then you're pater. Chayiv of shabrashuso, if you have a chay or oaf that's in your possession, hatsadon pater, if you trap them on Shabbos, you're pater, because they're nitzod va'omed. So it's not, you can't trap that which is already trapped. Va'chovul ben chayiv, but if you wound them, you're going to be chayiv. So now, the Gemara is medayik from the Mishnah, that the eight shrotzen that it says in the Torah, that have a skin, so those are the ones that at tzadan, ha'chovul behem, you're going to be chayiv. So midiktani, from the fact that the Mishnah says, ha'chovul ben chayiv, mechal di islu ar, that clearly implies that we're assuming that all of these eight shrotzen have a skin. Mantana, who's the Tana that holds that way? So Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nurihi, that's the Tana, that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Ditnan, because the Mishnah says in Maseches Chulin, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Omer Shmona Shratzim Yeshlen Oros, that there are eight Shratzim in the Torah, that the eight Shratzim that are mentioned in the Torah have Oros. And since they have Mamish, they have a real Or, their Or is not Mitame like a Basar of a Nevela. But the Rabbanan hold that some of these Shratzim do not have an Or, and therefore their Or has a din of Basar, because their Or is not really Or. So according to the Chamim, if you're Chovel in those Shratzim that don't have an R, you'd be Potter like any other Shkatzim or Ramasim, because the Malacha, the Isra of Chavala assumes that there's an R on the animal. If the animal doesn't have an R, it doesn't have a place where the blood can get trapped between the Basar and the R, because it doesn't have anything that qualifies as R, then there's not going to be a Malacha of Chavala. So it must be that we're assuming like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says that these Shmona Shratzim all have Oros, and that's why there's a Malach of Chavala on all of them. Rabbi Rav Huna Amar, nah, Amar Rav Afilu Teima Rabbanan. You could even say that we're assuming like the Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan will hold that some of these Shratzim, the Or has a halachic status of Basar. But that's only legabe tumin tahara. Ad kan lo plig rabbanan le Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri alinyan tuma. When do the rabbanan say that the R has a halachic status of basar for some of these shratzim? That's as far as the tuma of the R, that it says that it could be metame like basar. Dichsiv eila hatameim lachem le rabbel shorosein kibasaran. That it's a riboy in the pasuk. The letter hey in hatameim eila hatameim lachem is extra to tell me that the R has a din of basar. Avelin Shabbos fil Rabban Modu, but when it comes to the Shabbos, the Rabban are Modu that all eight of these shratim actually have an R. It's just that there's a riboy in the pasuk by Tumah to tell me, even though they all have R, for some of them the R has the halachic status of basar legabe Tumah, but not legabe anything else, because the Metzius is that they all have that they all happen to have an R. The Rishonim raised the question that the Maskana of the Gemara elsewhere seems to be that the Gemara that the reason of the Chum that Or is Metame Kibasar is because it's Ein Lahem Or, and not like Rav is saying over here that they're Marber from the Pasuk of Eila HaTameim. I mean, you have to make this fit with the Sugya Maseches Chulin, and it doesn't seem that this fits perfectly with the Sugya Maseches Chulin. Okay, that's for a different time. So now the Gemara asks on Rav from a Braisa. So Linyan Shabbos Lo Pligi, do you mean to tell me that as far as Shabbos is concerned, there's no machlokas between the Rabban and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that they all agree that all these Shmona Shratzim have R, and therefore all of them are subject to the Melach of Chavala? V'atanya, but we have a Braisa that tells us, Hatzad Echon Mishon Shmona Amur B'Torah, V'achovel Behen, Chayiv. If a person either traps or wounds any of these eight Shratzim, you're Chayiv. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But that's only Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's position. V'chamim omrim ein or elo l'mashamanu chachamim. That only that which the chachamim list in the Mishnah Maseches Chulin, that oroseim are kibisaram, only those have or. The anaka, the kach, the altav, and the chomet, those are separate from the other four shratzim. So you see that only some of the shratzim have or. Even the Gabi Hilchos Shabbos. It's not only a din in Tuma. Even the Gabi Hilchos Shabbos, only some of these shratzim are considered to have or. So says Mar Adrab, wait a second, something's wrong with the phrasing of that. We said only the ones that the Chum list that Oroseim Kibisaram have or. No, that's backwards, right? If you're saying that Oroseim Kibisaram, that their or is a din of Basar, you're saying that they don't have or, that their or is Basar, that it's not considered a separate thing called or. So Adrab, Lamashamanu Chum Ein Lahem or, that according to those that the Chum list that Oroseim Kibisaram are the ones that don't have or. Amar Abaye says, Hachi Kamar, what we meant to say is, Ein or chaluk mi basar el mashalo manu chachamim. That the only ones that have or that's distinguished from the basar are the ones that are not mentioned by the chachamim as having an or that's kibisaram. So in Achinami, you just have to flip it around. But according to that, it's a kasha on Rav, because Rav says that according to the Chachamim, by Malach of Chavalah on Shabbos, all eight of them, you're going to be chayav for Chavalah on Shabbos. And yet you see in the Braisa that, you're only chayav for Chavalah on four of the eight Shratzim according to the Chachamim. Amalei Rava, halama shamanu Chachamim kamar. Wait a second, how could you change the phrasing of that, the wording of that phrase? The Tana says in the Braisa, halama shamanu Chachamim. So how can you say that the Braisa really meant l'mashalom manu chachamim, that what is are the ones that are not mentioned by the chacham? Ella amar Rava Achikamer. You want to get the correct girsa in the Braisa. You want to get the correct understanding of the Braisa. From Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it sounds like only Legabe Shabbos is a din of or for all Shmona Shratzim. But in Yintuma, he holds, we darshan from the Pasuk, Hatmeim, that are Oseim are Metamei Kibisaram. So the Chacham therefore say, Ein or Metamei Kibasar, Ella, Lamashamanu Chachamim. That or is only Metamei Kibasar on certain ones of the Shratzim. But it's Dafka Linyan Tuma that they disagree. Linyan Shabbos, they are Moda, that all Shmona Shratzim have a din of or, and therefore you chayiv for being chaval on all Shmona Shratzim. And like Rav says, that Chum disagree only Legabe Tuma, but they're Moda, Linyan Shabbos. So the Gemara doesn't like Rav's answer either. Mechlad, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Hanachnami, Dlomanu Chacham Metamin. Wait, you mean to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that all eight shratzim, their or is metame kibasar, meaning they all have or legabe Shabbos? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would say, and none of them have or legabe tuma. Va'katani Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri yomer shemon shratzim yesh lenoros v'lo metamin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that eight shratzim have oros, and therefore they're not metame kibasar. The or is not metame kibasar. Directly against how Rava just touched up Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rava wanted to say that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, all eight shratzim have or that has a din of tumas basar, but we see beferish he holds the exact opposite. So amravad bar masa tritzachi. You have to change the one word in the brisa. Take out the word elva. It should say as follows: v'chamramim linyan tuma ein or lim mashem manu chachamim. That it's dafka linyan tuma that they hold that there is no din of or for the shratzim that the chachamim identified, but legabe Shabbos their moda that all eight shratzim have or, and therefore if you're chovel and all eight shratzim, you're going to be chayiv, like Rav said. It's just Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that even linyan tuma they all are considered to have or, and the chachamim say no, linyan tuma only some of them have or, others don't. Linyan Shabbos they all have or, exactly like Rav had said. So now the Gemara challenges Rav from a brisa. Vakati linyan Shabbos lo pligi. Do you still mean to tell me there's no machlokas chacham and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri when it comes to Shabbos? Vatanya, but we have a brisa. Hatzadeh from Mishmona Shratzim Amun b'Torah. If you trap one of the Shmona Shratzim that are identified in the Torah, hachovel behen, or if you wound them, chayiv, you're going to be chayiv b'shratzim sheish lan oros. But that's only those shratzim that have oros you're going to be chayiv. But those shratzim that don't have oros, you're pater if you wound them. Ve'ezui chabura she'enu chozeres. And what is an example of a chabura that you're chayiv? When it's enu chozeres, it doesn't go back to its original state. So nitzrar adam, that the blood gets trapped under the skin in one place. It bunches up under the skin. Afal pi shelo yatze, even though it never left the skin, it's trapped under the skin, that's a wound. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that there are eight shratzim, all the eight shratzim have oros, and therefore you chayiv for being chovel in all of them. So from the fact that the chachamim are saying the brisa b'shratzim sheyesh lehen oros chayiv, it sounds like they hold not all eight shratzim have or, even the gabay hilcha Shabbos. Even the gabay hilcha Shabbos, there are some that don't have or. So that's a kashan rav, because rav again wanted to say this great chiddush, that even though there's a machlokas about shmona shratzim, when it comes to dine tuma, do all eight shratzim have a din of oroseim kibisaram? So there's a machlokas about how many of the shratzim have a din of tumas basar on their or. But when it comes to Shabbos, everyone agrees that all eight shratzim have or, and therefore yichayv for chavala. But you see, beferish in this brisa, not that way, that the chachamim hold that only some of the shratzim have or legabe hilcha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, yeah, the Tanakam of the brisa is not following the shita of the chacham in the Mishnah in Chulin. He's following a different shita in Tanaim. Amar Rav Ashi, don't ask from this brisa on Rav, because you could say that the chacham in Menachinami disagree with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the Mishnah. Not the ones that disagree le'inyan. They only disagree le'inyan Tumah, but they do not disagree le'inyan Shabbos. Man Tanakamu, who's the Tanakam of this brisa that even disagrees the gabe Shabbos? It's a different Tana, a third Shita, Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the Azul Basar Gishta, that he follows the feel and the thickness of the R. That if it's very thick, then it has a mamish and R, it's not metamik basar. And if it's not such a thick R, then it's metamik basar. Ditnan, because the Mishnah tells us Rabbi Yehuda Omer Halta'a kechulda. The Halta'a has a din of a chulda, like the skin of a chulda, which is not metame, because you go based on the thickness of the skin, and the R halta'a is very thick, and therefore it's not metame kibasar. So according to him, there are three shratzim that the R is metame: the hanaka, the koch, and the chomet. And that's not because you darshan from the pasuk ela hatameim; it's because they just simply don't have R. And mela legabe Shabbos, if you're chovel and those three that don't have R, you're going to be potter. It's a metzius thing; it's not a drasha from a pasuk. It's a metzius that you feel their skin, you analyze their skin, you'll see that three of them don't have thick skin. But the Rabbanan, who are based on a chiddush in the pasuk, a drasha in a pasuk, that there are four of these shratzim that don't have or, but it's a halachic thing, it's not a metzius thing. Yeah, where's that halacha? That's linyan tuma, but linyan Shabbos, there's no such halacha. Linyan Shabbos, they all have an or, and therefore if you're chavel in all shmona shratzim, you're going to be chayiv. So ihachi, frankly, if you're going to say that the chamra modet Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri legabe Shabbos, hi divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Why does it say divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? It should say divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri machlukato mi ba'ilei. It should say, yeah, the shita that holds that you're chayiv for being chovel in all shmona shratzim on Shabbos is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Tanoim who argue with him legabe tuma. So tani divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri machlukaso enochinami. So change the girsa, meaning it should be that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan who disagree with him legabe tuma all agree with him to go against Rabbi Yehuda le'inyan Shabbos. So as it turns out, even though Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and the Rachachamim have disagreement legabe tuma, whether oraseim kiyotzibem, whether the or has a din of tumas basar legabe tumas nevela, when it comes to Shabbos, both Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and the Rabbanan hold that all shmona shratzim have or. But that doesn't mean everybody holds that way. There is a third shita, a Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if you look at the metzius of the or, that there are actually three of these shratzim that don't have a real R, and mimele you're not going to be chayav for being chovel in those three shratzim on Shabbos. We just mentioned something parenthetically, that the definition of a wound is something that's not chozeres, that doesn't go back to its previous state. But a chabura that goes back to its previous state, like those animals that don't have an R mamish and the dam gets caught in there, or a very small wound where the dam doesn't cluster, is not considered a chabura. How do I know that? Because the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says in the Musar that Yirmiyahu Anavi gives to Klal Yisrael, Hayahapach Kushi Oro V'Nomer Chabar Barosav, can a Kushi change his skin or a leopard its spots? And therefore the end of the pasuk is Gam Atem Tuchu Lehetiv Limudei Hareya, that it's like we refuse to change, that just like a Kushi doesn't change and doesn't change his skin color from darker to lighter, so too we are unable to change our Maisim Arayim. We continue to do Averos, because we've become so rugged in Averos, we've become so accustomed to Averos that we don't change. So Maicha Barbu Rosav, what an unusual word to describe spots of a leopard. Chabarbu Rosav. Ilem itkai rikmi rikmi. If it's talking about spots, like we assume it means, there's a perfectly good word in Hebrew for spots, and that would be gavanav. Why would it use a term that sounds like chabura? Ella must be hinting to me something. Kikushi, that the definition of chabura is similar to the skin of a kushi, in the sense that ma'oro de kushi ena chazeres, av chabura ena chazeres. Just like the aura of a kushi is something that doesn't change, it's a physical characteristic that he has, and it's not something that can change. So too, a chabura by definition is something that cannot change, that cannot easily be reversed. Ushar shkatsim, then we said other shkatsim are masim. If you're chovel in them, you're potter. So ha-horgon chayiv. Ooh, the implication is that if you kill any other shkatzim, you're going to be chayiv. Mantana or Rabbi Yirmi Rabbi Lazar Hidatanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer ha-hori kina b'shabbos ka-hori gomel b'shabbos. If you kill a louse on Shabbos, it's the same as killing a camel on Shabbos. You're chayiv. Maskev l'Rav Yosef ad kan lo pligi Rabban alei de Rabbi Eliezer ele b'kina de'ena paravarava aval shar shkatzim matzim de paravarava lo pligi. The Rabbanan only disagree with Rabbi Eliezer and hold that you're potter for killing a louse, because a louse doesn't engage in pruravu. The Gemara assumes it comes from just a lot of sweat, and a louse is just spontaneously generated from a lot of sweat. But other shkatzim or masim that come about through pruravu, they would agree that it's like killing a gamel. Shneim lo lamadu elim eilim. They're both derived from the elim adamim of Mishkan. Reb Lezer saver ke elim my elim sheishba and nitilas neshama av kol sheishba and nitilas neshama. For Rabbanan saver ke elim my elim depolim rava and av kol deparo rava. So the malach of killing is derived from the Elim. So the Elim Adamim. So the question is, what characteristic of the Elim Adamim are we trying to compare to? So the one possibility is anything that has neshama, so that would include also a louse. Or the other possibility is no, only that which is part of Arava, that which has the ability to reproduce with male and female, only that would be considered to be Netilas Neshama. Samle Abaye Vikina part of Arava is a kina part of Arava Vamramar, but don't we learn in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry, Vikina ain't part of Arava? Do you mean to tell me that a louse is not part of Arava? That it's just spontaneously generated from sweat, but it doesn't actually have a male and a female and a normal reproduction? Vamramar, but don't we learn in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'zan, Mikarnei Re'emim V'ad Beitzei Kinim? It refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu supporting the entire world, including eggs of kinim. What do you mean eggs? I thought they're not part of a rava. So minu hu demikri beitze kinim. No, kinim are not part of a rava. There is a min called beitze kinim that are very tiny that Kodesh Baruch Hu supports. But regular kinim don't have any beitzim. Vatanya tfuyu beitze kinim. Aye, but there's a brisa that says a certain type of sheretz called the tipuye and beitze kinim. Sounds like it does have eggs. No, minu hu demikri beitze kinim. That's also, it's just a min that's called beitze kinim. Vare parosh to part of a rava, but a gnat is part of a rava. Vatanya Hatzad parosh b'shabbos Rabbi Lozer mechayv Rabbi Shua poter. So you see that Rabbi Shua poter's trapping a parosh even though it's part of a rava. So if you kill it, you should be poter. Says Mara Amravashi tseida ahariga karamis. You're asking a stira between trapping and killing. Ad kalno pligi Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shua ala demar savar dover shein b'mino nitzod chayuvu mar savar poter. The whole machlokas is only about something that's ain b'mino nitzod. But avalinian hariga. But when it comes to killing, I feel Rabbi Shua mode, even Rabbi Shua is going to be moda that you're chayiv for killing because it's something that is part of a rava. So anything that's part of a rava, you're going to be chayiv for killing. And the Gemara makes the clear assumption that a kina is not part of a rava. So this is a major discussion in the Achronim because that assumption does not work out scientifically, right? Meaning scientifically, we know that it may be part of a rava on a microscopic level, but everything is part of a rava. Even the kinim are part of a rava. They don't really come from sweat. So the Pachad Yitzchak HaSvaradi, not Rav Hutner, the Pachad Yitzchak HaSfaradi says that now that we know better, so now you're not allowed to kill a louse on Shabbos anymore because we know that it's actually part of a rava, and Chazal were unaware that it was part of a rava. So they quote from Rav Eliashiv that you can't say that. You can't say that Chazal got it wrong. It must be that our lice are different than their lice, meaning there are a few different approaches you could take. You could say scientists are a bunch of apikorsim, and if the Gemara said they're part of a rava, then they're not part of a rava, then they're not part of a rava, and you don't listen to anything scientists say. That's one mahalik. There are people that take that mahalik. Another mahalach is you could say, like Pachad Yitzchak says, that Chazal are working with the best science of their times, and now we have better science, so we're able to know that. But the halach is about Parav Rava. And then the third mahalach is that the halach is not is Rav Eliashiv, that they must have been describing something different. If we see with our own eyes something different than what they were describing, so it must be their lice you were allowed to kill, our lice you're not allowed to kill. Then the fourth mahalach is that even if we have a different understanding of the Metzius, the halacha is not going to change. And you have to redefine the halacha. It's not about Parav Rava, but it's about visible Parav Rava, perceptible Parav Rava. This relates a lot to the worms that they find in fish, that Chazal also assumed were spontaneously generated. So many poskim say, halachically they're spontaneously generated, even though in reality they're not. But we don't have time to get into that explanation. Now I just want to get a few lines further. Hatsadun l'tzorech chayiv. If you trap them l'tzorech, you're going to be chayiv. So mantana, who's the tana? Am Rav Yudam Rav, Rabbi Shimon hi. Tam lach shein shrich l'guf, ha-patrala. We're assuming like Rabbi Shimon that when you trap shratim, shalol l'tzorech gufo, just so it doesn't damage you, tam lach shein shrich l'guf, you're pater. Ika demasna ha. Some say the comment of Rav on the following, in the following context. Hamepis morsa b'shabas im lasol slapeh chayiv. If you pop a pimple to make an opening, you're chayiv. Vim lotzim menalecha, but if it's to remove pas pater, man tana am Rav Yudam Rav, Rabbi Shimon hi. That's Rabbi Shimon tam lach shein shrich l'guf, ha-patrala. And then a third version is that it goes on the following. If you trap a snake so that it doesn't bite you, you're potter. But if you're trapping it because you want to use it for a four, you're chayv. Who's the tana that holds that trapping a snake so that it doesn't bite you is potter? That's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Shmuel. Everyone have a great day.
Thank you, Rabbi Shmuel.
Thank you.